Accession number 18574, Reel 2.
Reel 2.
And I was keeping communication with the air sea rescue boats in Littlehampton. And I saw a formation of aircraft coming over, and I said to myself, Blenheims, until they got over the top and the first one peeled off, and I realised they were Stukas. And I had about 50 yards to go to the nearest air raid shelter, and I must have beaten all records, and the first bomb actually blew me into the air raid shelter, and I found myself in here, in this thing, alone, because everybody else was at lunch. And they flattened forward. They flattened it. They made a good job.
How frightening was that experience?
Quite frightening. It is when you're laying in an air raid shelter on your own and you realise, you try to memorise how many there were in the formation, you say to yourself, there was a dozen, and they've got a big bomb each, and you count them as they're dropping. And one end of the air raid shelter was all sort of bunged up. A bomb had dropped close to it to shut off the exit. But it was no problem getting out. But when you get out and you survey the damage, you think to yourself, okay, this is war.
Were there many casualties?
Yeah, there were quite a lot. More people sort of losing limbs and being, you know, having been in the way of shrapnel and things like that. I can't remember how many deaths there were.
Was this in 1940?
Yes, it would be, yeah. Yes.
Do I suppose you remember which month it was?
No, I can't.
Presumably the second half of 1940, I would imagine.
Yes. Yes, it would have been. It would have been... Yeah, it would have been all September 1940, I reckon. And then in October, we were transferred to Condor. So it would have been September 1940.
Was the station put out of action?
Oh, completely.
Was it back in action by the time you left?
Not for the purposes with which it was being used for training, because all the huts had been damaged and, you know...
Were any aircraft destroyed on the ground?
I think there were some, yes, yes, yes. Training aircraft, of course.
What was it like flying in the Swordfish?
Cold. It's a type of flying. I spent all my life in aeroplanes, because when I left the Navy, I joined BEA. And there is no other type of flying like flying in an open cockpit with a single engine and a crew of three. It's a type of flying which is quite different from everything else.
Did you like it, or did you find
yes.
it an ordeal?
No, well, it was my first experience in flying, so I found it nice to be able to look over the side and you know, not look out of glass windows and things like that. When you're young anyway, you like that sort of thing, don't you? But it could be a bit trying in instances like the Russian convoy, where it was very cold, very, very cold. And when you do a couple of hours AS patrol on an Arctic convoy, and then your limbs are so stiff that you have a difficulty in getting out of the cockpit, and that's not unusual.
What measures could you take against the cold?
Nothing. You've only got your flying kit. You might use silk underwear, like little stockings, if you could get hold of any. Things like that, but no, you just wear, say you put two pairs of socks on or two pairs of stockings on or whatever, and your flying boots, and I mean all the paraphernalia that you had to wear was very cumbersome, but it was in an effort to keep you warm. But if you're up there in temperature which is well below zero, you're going to have difficulty in keeping warm anyway. You can wiggle your toes and wiggle your fingers and do all sorts of things to try and keep the circulation going, but it's not easy.
So it sounds as though you were at Ford after you'd left the Furious, were you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And where did you go to after Ford?
Went to Arbroath and carried on up there with the training. The training was transferred, you see, from Ford to Arbroath in Scotland, which wasn't subject to the same sort of air raids and interference that you would have been if you'd have stayed down south. So you were able to continue the training with not too much interference.
Had you been on any operations Furious?
No, not at that stage. And it was whilst I was at Arbroath that I was drafted to 825 Squadron, which would have been in May 41, I was drafted to 825 Squadron. And it was a new squadron. There were only a nucleus of experienced people. Most of the other pilots, observers and tags in the squadron had come straight from training. And so a squadron forming like that does a whole period of working up, doing torpedo attacks and all the other things which are necessary to bring a squadron up to operational standards. And we were in the middle, or we had just begun to do that, when the Bismarck escaped. And we were the squadron that was drafted to the, or sent to the Victorious, and the Victorious was a new carrier, again working up. So you had, in a sense, the blind leading the blind. The Victorious, a carrier which hadn't reached operational standards, and a squadron of Swordfish being sent on board, which itself had not reached operational standards, and our job was to go and try and do something to the Bismarck.
Who was in your crew?
My crew at that time was Jick, Lieutenant Jick, who later became an admiral, and the observer was a chap called Norfolk, Sub-Lieutenant Norfolk. And we did the attack on the Bismarck, which would have been what, 24th of May, wasn't it? On the 24th of May.
Can you take me through that period in the Victorious and the attack on the Bismarck, step by step in detail, please, as you remember it?
Well, we embarked on the Victorious. And it was all a bit of a rush. Everything was being done in a hell of a rush. And the Victorious was out to sea in pursuit of the Bismarck, whose position at that time was not really known. And if you get a big carrier like that doing something like 28 to 30 knots, it's a noisy job. I remember the steel hangar doors used to rattle because it was an arm carrier with the aircraft hangars was in fact an armoured box, and these huge steel doors were rattling because the ship was going at such a pace. The weather was not very kind. The TAGs were in a little briefing room, and our knowledge of what we were going to do was negligible. It was only what the ship's company had got. We were not briefed. The tags were not briefed with the pilots and observers. And eventually when we got the notice to man the aircraft, all we knew was that we were going to attack the Bismarck, but I mean we didn't know what sort of height we were going at or what the plan of attack was. We just didn't know anything. And you hoped that perhaps the observer would let you know what you were doing. If you were in some crews, you would get that information, and others didn't. Anyway, We plodded along for a couple of hours to find the Bismarck, and we were fitted with a primitive sort of radar, the very first sort of radar that was fitted to aircraft. And we had a blip on the radar, and we descended from, I don't know, something like 12,000 feet through the cloud to investigate the blip. And it wasn't the Bismarck, it was an American Coast Guard cutter. And we had given away our position. And so the planned attack, whatever it was, wasn't able to be executed in the manner in which they had thought they would be able to do it. And the whole squadron came down and delivered their attacks in their own way on the Bismarck. And we went in with Chick as the pilot, and I'm looking forward and can see the Bismarck, and it's getting, and they are throwing everything at us, but fortunately they missed. And we went in, we turned away, and when you turn away, the aircraft lightens, and you go, as you drop the torpedo, the aircraft lightens, and you turn away and taking avoiding action. But we didn't drop our torpedo, because I could still see it through a little hole in the bottom of the fuselage. And we went out to about 25 miles, and Chick said that he wasn't lined up on his first run-in, and he was going to have another run-in. And I thought to myself, Godfathers, we've been up through all that, and now we're going to have to do it all again. Anyway, we're right down on the water. I don't know, I suppose 15, 20 feet. And we went in towards the Bismarck, and the Bismarck never saw us. Nothing came at us, and it was most amazing. We went in, we dropped our fish, and turned away. And I saw a spurt of water and assumed that we had got a hit. And then the Bismarck threw everything at us, and we flew through. They were firing their main armament at us, and the huge splashes from the main armament is sufficient to bring an aircraft down. And we were on the fringe of one of these splashes, because the Bismarck's gunnery, as history will tell you, was very accurate. They had sunk the hood the previous day. And we flew through the fringe of one of these splashes, and all the fabric in the bottom of the aircraft was ripped off, and we had a pretty cold trip back. But the whole squadron got back, even the people that had never landed, done a night landing on a carrier. It was marvellous. The whole aircraft got back. And we got back and had a bacon and eggs and a top, I seem to remember. And then we were expecting to have to go again, but we didn't have to. The Ark Royal came up from the south, and the Ark Royal did an attack which damaged the rudder of the Bismarck, which was the beginning and the end, as far as she was concerned.
How was it that they didn't see you as you came in for the second?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Although you read in, if you read the other side of the story, the Bismarck, written by the German side of the thing, I don't know. They just didn't see us until we turned away.
Was it dark?
Dusk rather than dark. Because in those up there, you know, near Greenland, it doesn't really get dark at all.
Was it poor visibility?
Yeah. A musky dark. I would imagine the pilots who'd never done a night landing would have preferred it to have been daylight.
What did the Bismarck look like? Was it impressive?
There it is. That is a very good painting of what I actually saw. That was us going in.
Did it look awesome?
Yes, very. You'll find in the book a more detailed account of my experiences in on the Bismarck, as well as the Arctic convoys.
How frightening was it for you?
I don't. I, I don't know. Many people have asked this question. I think that you get to a stage in flying, whether that be in peacetime or whatever. You get to a stage in flying. You have some stages where you're nervous about what you're doing and you think what might happen, but you get to a stage where you write all these problems off. And I didn't think, I honestly didn't think that I was going to survive the war. And I satisfied myself in my own mind that this was not going to happen, and I'd got to learn to live with it. And so I didn't become... Sure, you became nervous, and sure, you were frightened. You were frightened of what was going to happen, but it didn't permanently bother you, or it didn't permanently bother me. You had to sort of dismiss it from your mind and just make the most of every day. Was a... If you were on operations, every day survived was a bonus.
Do you think your torpedo did hit the Bismarck?
I'm sure it did.
Whereabouts do you think it struck?
It was more or less midships. But there's been many, and equally, we, the TAGs, were not debriefed when we got back from the exercise. And people, I was interviewed recently for the American version of the sinking of the Bismarck, and I was telling the same sort of story as I'm telling you. And he said, well, why is it that the fact that you got a hit is not really mentioned anywhere? I said, because nobody asked me. And they didn't. And had they asked me, I would have said, yes. I was the only one looking aft at that time. If you imagine, the aircraft turns round, the pilot's facing that way, the observer was facing that way, and I was the only one looking on. And I saw this spurt, and I thought, well, that's a hit.
I think the hit that caused it to go in a circle...
was from the Ark Royal, not from the Victorious. It might have... I think perhaps our hit... Well, history will tell you anyway, that it made the Bismarck think. And that was her beginning of believing that she was no longer going to get out among the convoys, which is what we were trying to prevent her from doing, but she was on her way back to Brest.
What happened after this?
The Victorious went to Greenock, and we stayed there for a couple of days, and then we were on our way to Gibraltar, because the Victorious only had our squadron and a squadron of Fulmers on board, because the rest of the hangar was stacked with fighters in packing cases for Gibraltar to go to Malta. So we continued our way to Gibraltar, and when we got to Gibraltar, our squadron, 825 squadron, transferred to the Ark Royal. So we left the Victorious and transferred to the Ark Royal. And then we did all those operations down the Mediterranean with the convoys and that sort of thing until the Ark Royal was sunk.
Which particular convoys do you remember?
I can't remember the names or the numbers of them. But it was... That's... You would... Down to what we would do, what we were doing was they were assembling these fighters, which were in packing cases, parking them on the flight deck of the Ark Royal or sometimes in the hangar, and then the whole Force H with the aircraft carrier would go within what was flying distance for the Spitfires or the Hurricanes of Malta, and these Hurricanes and Spitfires would fly off and go to Malta, but this was a process whereby you were under constant attack by the Germans and the Italians.
And what duties would your squadron have in those convoys?
Anti-submarine patrols.
Did you see any submarines?
No.
Do you think you were effective in keeping them off?
Well, yes. In fact, aircraft did keep subs down. We didn't keep the one down that sunk us, but... yeah.
How did you like doing this kind of work personally?
Well, it was a job, wasn't it, really? I don't think... I can't say that I enjoyed being in a situation where bombs were constantly raining down on you. But everyday survival was a bonus, and you listen to the exploits of the fighter pilots in the Fulmers and how they had shot down their aircraft, the Heinkels and things like that, and there was constant conversation, obviously in the mess of about the operation and what you were doing and how you were getting away with it and how near the misses were.
So we're talking about the summer and autumn of 1941.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any incidents that happened to you before the sinking of the Ark Royal?
Oh God, there are many. There are many, some laughable. I think the funniest one is that when I told you that I was chief of the naval patrol in Jib, if you remember, one incident there was a soldier who had been in what was virtually a naval cabaret and got himself into a fight, and the patrol had brought this soldier in, and providing people could walk and converse reasonably, I wouldn't put them on a charge. And I said to this soldier, what on earth were you doing going in a naval cabaret? Surely you're asking for trouble. He said, well, that's the point. He said, I really didn't want to join the army. He said, I really wanted to join the navy. And he was all right. And there was an old sailor's hat on the shelf, which obviously a residue for some previous episode. And I took this hat down and I gave it to this soldier. I said, sign your name on the blotting paper. And he signed his name on the blotting paper. I said, now, where you go back to your barracks and be a good boy. And he went back to the barracks. We went down and did another run down to Malta and back. And on the way back, I was summoned to appear at an inquiry, and transport would be sent for me. And when I got to this inquiry, I was ushered in, and the questioning went something like, are you GP? I said, yes. Were you chief of the patrol on the night of so-and-so? Yes. Do you recall the prisoner? And it was a soldier. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. They said, do you recall enlisting him in the Navy? And of course, with a half smile, this chap said this, and with a half smile, I said, yes, I do. And apparently what had happened, that he'd gone back to the barracks with his hat on, and when he was walking through the gate, the sergeant of the guard or whatever had said, soldier! And he turned around and said, I'm in the Navy. But he got away with it, apparently. They all thought it was good fun. I think you needed things like that.
Any other stories we ought to record?
Oh, dear.
If not, let's go on to the sinking of the Ark Royal. You were aboard when that happened, were you?
Yeah, I'd just come back from an AS patrol, and we'd landed on... And I went down to the mess, and I was having a cup of tea, and I nodded off to sleep, sitting at the table, and cups were sliding up. There'd been a bang when the torpedoes hit, but I mean, that life was full of bangs, and I didn't take much notice of it. I just thought it was a depth charge that had gone off rather close or something like that. I didn't disturb me an awful lot until these cups started sliding off the table and tinkling against the lockers, and I realised that there was a big list on. So then went up top and joined hundreds of others who were on the flight deck, and abandoned ship had been given, and I just slid down a rope onto the Legion, which was a destroyer which came alongside. And the Legion upper deck and was absolutely packed with survivors, and she steamed around for hours, seemingly trying to find the submarine that had done the damage. In the meantime, they tried to get the Ark Royal in tow, but eventually that wasn't very successful, and she sunk.
Doesn't sound, from your account, as though it was a particularly traumatic experience.
No, it wasn't.
Was it difficult to get from below decks to up onto the top?
Yeah, I think the things that you think about is I'm halfway up to the flight deck, and I remembered all of the things I'd bought in Gib to take home, and I thought, God, I'll go back down and get them. And I started to go back down, and the ship went a bit more, and I thought, no, it's a bit dicey, you better get up top. And I sort of nipped up top and just stood there in the queue waiting to get somewhere.
Was it difficult going down the rope into HMS Legion?
No. When it's your life, you're going to be all right.
So it was calm weather?
Yes, yeah. Can you...